Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Sue, I'm going to go on the record and say that this has been such a crazy day, and I keep seeing stories that are mind-blowing that Lou Gramm might be the only thing that saves it. Because we got good bumper music here in Midnight Blue. I needed this one today. Yes. I really did. But I'm going to give, let's welcome Scott Jennings into the fray because I'll have him react as well. 97.1 FM Talk political insider. Are you down in Louisville or are you in the swamp right now or somewhere else?
No, I mean, I made it back to Kentucky today. I was up in the swamp the last couple of days, but came home this morning.
Before I get to some of the nuttiness that we will talk about, this is just a story. I'm so confused by it. And I just retweeted this out and I don't know all the details, but there was a woman in Indianapolis, Scott, that apparently was found not guilty. She's walking free after admitting to smothering her two-month-old baby to death between two couch cushions while high on meth. The judge found her not guilty of neglect, and she gets to just go free. So it's okay. I mean, look, she just needs a social worker, right? I'm not going to argue that that's not someone who does need help because it sounds like she does, but shouldn't there be a little bit of punishment because she snuffed out the two-month-old little baby?
Yeah, I saw the headline on this. I haven't read the story or the case, but if the way they've described it, which is how you just described it, is true, what a travesty of justice. I mean, it's a tragic situation, but how do you let someone go who's been so negligent and careless? And I mean, don't the rules have to apply to everyone? I mean, it sounds like that's a defendant who, you know, frankly, the rules of society don't apply. And I wouldn't know why is that.
If you have someone who is intoxicated and they kill somebody, you're going to have, you know, charges. And yeah, you didn't intend to do that, but there's involuntary manslaughter. I'm shocked by that. But you know what? After what I see today on the campus of Columbia University, and Jennings, this is just horrifying. By the way, here's something that just, you know, came over that I don't think you're going to be shocked by. The daughter of Ilhan Omar has been arrested at all this stuff. Irsay Hirsi, the daughter of Somali-born Ilhan Omar, the U.S. congresswoman who's a radical, has been arrested. But this is horrifying. Can you imagine being a Jewish student at Columbia University or somewhere else right now?
Oh, these campuses are outrageous. By the way, Elise Stefanik, Republican from New York, went after the president of Columbia yesterday on Capitol Hill, just as she's gone after some of these other university presidents, and good for her.
Yeah, hang on. I got the audio of that here.
And you are aware that in that bill that got 377 members out of 435 members of Congress condemns From the River to the Sea as anti-Semitic.
Yes, I am aware of that.
But you don't believe From the River to the Sea is anti-Semitic?
We have already issued a statement to our community saying that language is hurtful and we would prefer not to hear it on our campus.
We would prefer not to hear it is the oh my gosh. It just what, you can't make it what, up.
What these hearings and these videos and these stories have all confirmed is that these university administrators have absolutely no control of their campus. They have no idea what's going on campus. They have no control of the faculty. They don't really care what the students are doing while they're there supposedly earning a degree, which confers, you know, the credibility of having learned something. It's outrageous. This tent city at Columbia is incredible. By the way, it costs like $90,000 a year all in to go to this place. Can you imagine sending your kid to Columbia and they have to wake up every morning and go outside and say, well, I'm looking out over the tent city here, the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel tent city. It's growing every day. $90,000 a year. What kind of an education are we getting here?
Well, and I'll give them credit because at least they made arrests. And I've mentioned this at least once today. You know, at Vanderbilt in Nashville, they cracked down and they expelled some students. But, you know, this is amazing. Can you even envision a situation? And there's nothing different than what I'm about to say. If you want to go back to what they're chanting, River to the Sea, and some of these other things as well, Death to America. Let's imagine just for a moment that there was a group of white people on campus that would cheer Black Lives Don't Matter over and over. Black Lives Don't Matter over and over, right? Can you imagine, or you don't think they'd shut that down right away?
It would be, every cable channel would be in 24/7 coverage there'd be people swinging off the chandeliers in Congress, you know, demanding some kind of a law be passed. I mean, we sort of had this, right? We had Charlottesville, and our news industry shut down for weeks covering the Charlottesville rally during the Trump years. Brother, we're having 1,000 Charlottesvilles every day in this country. And I would argue even worse than what happened in Charlottesville when you consider the hateful anti-Semitism, anti-American rhetoric. It's worse, and it's obviously widespread. And by the way, it's all confined to one end of the political spectrum. These are left-wing progressives who are marching to these chants, who are putting out these ideas, and we just sort of act like it's, well, you know, it's just kids being kids. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's anti-Semitic. It's on the rise. And the failure of the left to deal with it is pretty astounding.
It is astounding. And I don't know what the end game is here. Let's talk about Mayorkas and what happened yesterday in the Senate. Here's Marco Rubio.
Well, the Senate Democrats didn't want to have a trial because the trial wasn't just going to be about Mayorkas, although clearly that's what an impeachment trial is, but it was going to be about the border policies. It was going to walk through the deliberate decisions made under Secretary Mayorkas that basically ignore the laws of the United States and in the process lie to Congress about what's happening. And they didn't want a trial on that. It would have been a trial that would have exposed all of that for a week or however long it took with evidence and proof and things to be cited. And they didn't want people to hear that.
I don't know if you had a chance to visit with your old boss, Senator McConnell, on this particular topic, but obviously some constitutional implications here and a bad precedent.
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday when they ditched the articles of impeachment in short order. And, you know, we all said at the time, and McConnell has said this, you know, Senate Democrats time and again do things that they are going to eventually deeply regret. This has never happened in the Senate. They've never dismissed articles of impeachment without a trial, ever, in the history of the United States. Hasn't happened. And so now that's what we do. I would tell you that sometime in the near future, it's going to come back around, just the way it came back around on judges. McConnell warns them repeatedly, don't set these precedents for short-term political gain, which, by the way, Rubio is exactly right, but they keep doing it anyway. They will regret this, but Rubio's right. If I were them, I guess I wouldn't want to talk about immigration for a week either, because it is the biggest failure happening in this country, and it's all at the feet of one political party.
So what we're discussing here is very serious, and it should be treated seriously, but I have to kind of slip this in here. We played this audio earlier. Have you heard the Kamala Harris audio of her talking about the NCAA women's tournament?
Yes.
Okay. For those people who haven't, no, here's what, yeah, they, you know, everyone fills their brackets out for the men's, that's sort of the tradition in this country, but the women have brackets too. And they have for a long time, except that the vice president doesn't think that they have.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that.
Think about it, except it didn't happen. Now, Sue and I think we've kind of figured this out a little bit, right, Sue?
Yeah, we think somebody told her that, brackets for women started in 1982, and then they told her that the actual March Madness trademark was used exclusively by the men until 2022. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's not like her to mix things up, so we're going to have to give her a pass,
My favorite part of that is she said they're not allowed. Like there was a law prohibiting them.
Right, right.
Well, you better not put a women's team on a bracket. We're hauling you off to jail.
That's right.
That is just astounding when you hear her. I'm going to say something here, and I know if you're driving, just be careful. But can you imagine her being the commander in chief?
No, and no one else can either, and that's why the Democrats are sticking with Biden. I mean, everybody's like, why don't they replace Biden? I'm like, look what's on deck. You're going to have to let this person hit. You can't you're stuck with Joe Biden I'm sort of convinced this is counterintuitive. Joe Biden is like a secret genius. He picked Kamala Harris knowing full well they could never get rid of him for re-election because if Harris was the next person
that's true.
Like, it was just absolutely diabolical on his part, and it worked. He's going to be the nominee again.
Hey Jennings, you're on CNN, but you've been in politics for a long time, and you were a media guy back at WHAS in Louisville as well. But what do you think happened to Joe Scarborough? Because here's what he said about Trump supporters.
What's wrong with you? Who raised you? Mm. What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you from? Because You may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by.
Anybody who wants to vote for, and then this, he's ripping Fox.
There were like four migrants and a hound dog on top of a hill in New Mexico. They are obsessed on trashing America.
He doesn't think there's an issue at the border. What happened to him? My answer is Mika happened to him, but good Lord, did you ever know him back in the political days?
I did communicate with him a little bit. He used to communicate with us quite a lot back in the Bush White House days when he was a normal Republican. I mean, look, I think people get jobs and their expectations of those people, and I think it's 99% performative, and they cash those checks, and there you go. I mean, how else do you explain it? I mean, how do you become a completely and totally different person than you claim to be for your entire life? I mean, you know, he's certainly carved out a good living doing it, and I don't, you know, far be it for me to criticize someone makes a living. But is this the? Do you believe that he's giving you the news, or do you believe that he's, you know, doing any critical thinking here, or do you believe he's basically performing his part in a play?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. So speaking of a play, the Trump jury selection apparently is complete. They have 12 seated. They have to come up with alternates. My prediction earlier is there's no way that someone's not booted off that jury. So they're going to need alternates. But the whole thing is just a complete circus. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm more than willing to criticize Trump. I've done it before. I'm more than willing to say, you know, what he did here is criminal and he should be prosecuted. I don't say I've looked at this case, Jennings. I've tried to, you know, listen to the facts. There's no crime here. That's the main problem is there's no crime here.
No, and what they've done is, if there is, they have contorted paperwork misdemeanors into a campaign finance felony that both the Justice Department in Washington and the Federal Election Commission looked at and took a pass on. And so, you listen to Trump, what he says is true. It is a partisan prosecutor. It is a case that has been roundly criticized by legal experts from the right and the left. And it's being done to the leading presidential candidate of the opposition party in the middle of a campaign. This is a novel sort of never been tried before legal theory. Is this really the time to trot out this laboratory experiment in the middle of a presidential campaign? So it's the weakest case they've got against him. It should have never been brought. It weakened the entire argument against Trump. If you're someone who wants to get him legally, them going first on this and them doing this at all weakened everything. And I don't know what's going to happen. And yes, it's a circus, but this trial does not need to be happening right now. Maybe other trials. I don't doubt that. But this one is a dog.
Yeah. We had our mutual friend Joe Arnold on yesterday with his thoughts about Whitey Herzog. We can skip over the Cardinals and the inability to hit the ball and score runs, and we can do that another time. But your thoughts, because you're a loyal Cardinals fan, on the passing of the white rat, the great Whitey Herzog.
You know, when I was a kid, I would stand in my backyard and pretend I didn't have anybody to play with someday. So I would, you know, simulate these games, and I would pretend like I was Whitey Herzog. Like, okay, and I would coach myself. Like, all right, Vince, get up there now and do this and do that. And so everything I knew about baseball and lineups and strategy, like everything I knew, came from Whitey Herzog. And then watching these clips of him now, you know, from the old beer commercials and some of the interviews he gave, like, I didn't appreciate that as a kid, but boy, are they amazing to consume now. He was a special, talented guy, and you could tell revered in the game and revered in St. Louis. And so RIP to a total legend,
absolutely.
Complete legend.
One of the things I love about Joe and Scott is when we go to the games together, you still do the scorecards, right? You guys are very loyal, old school baseball fans, right?
Oh, yeah. You got it. We got cards for every game, and I learned how to keep score as a kid, and it's the way I follow the game. And I love doing it at Busch Stadium more than anywhere else in the world. And, you know, the first games I ever attended as a kid were managed by Whitey Herzog. So. Yeah.
Well, Jenny's getting for a game. The season has started, you know, so we need to see you here in person.
I'll be there soon enough, and I just hope we score more than three runs.
Me
That's
too.
The goal.
All right, we'll see
three.
You.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, I could use this for audio cut of the day, and maybe I still will, but it's going to play into what we're talking about right now. Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley, just ripped into Mayorkas today, grilling him on the death of Laken Riley in particular. Listen to this. He just goes off on
expunged. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Laken Riley.
Yeah, let's juxtapose that with Joe Scarborough and his idiocy on MSNBC, kind of minimizing all this.
There were like 4 migrants and a hound dog on top of a hill in New Mexico. They are obsessed on trashing America.
I don't even know what he's saying anymore. He's talking about Fox. He said they're obsessed with trashing America. You know what's trashing America? 7.2 million illegals coming across the border. That's what's trashing America right now. J. Peter Zane is at Real Clear Investigations, wrote about some of the other, you know, implications of the migrants and what's happening in this country. Peter, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. That's Joe Scarborough is such a symbol of the emptiness of Washington. How anybody who was at one point a conservative could be a knee-jerk defender of the leftist, extremist, anti-democratic Democratic Party that is running this country is just shocking. I mean, you can not like Trump, you can not like the Republicans, but I don't know how anybody who says they're a conservative can support these left-wing extremists.
No, I asked this question of my previous guest, Scott Jennings, and my answer was Mika. I think he's just under the control of Mika, but it is really shocking. And this, you know, this is an issue. You wrote about this from a different perspective because obviously some of what's happening, there's so many implications of all these migrants, and you probably heard this might be a good time to talk about what's happening in Chicago because in Chicago they're pissed off. I have a great piece of audio. But you, Peter, write about how some of this is really exploding into child labor, prostitution, human trafficking, rape, etc.
So, you know, one of the things where conservatives are, often attacked by the left is you don't have a plan. What do you want to do? And of course, you know, what we think is that freedom is the best plan. And they often say that they're the ones who care about children because they want to spend money on X or Y, or they care about women or X or Y. So one of the things that I just wanted to point out was that, you know, when it comes to this illegal immigration, they are the party of child abuse, and they are the party of abusive women. Because what you have is Joe Biden becomes president, and he says, come one, come all, and that's exactly what he did. His first thing in office was no deportations for 100 days. He then has scores of other executive orders that make it easier for people to stay and work here. He completely corrupts the rules about parole. So, of course, these people come. But guess what? We are not prepared in the least to accommodate them, to accept them, to find places for them to live and work. So they completely overwhelm the system and are often involved in extremely illegal and destructive activities.
So you, because, you have, yeah. Well, you have a situation in Denver. You have the mayor there, and I don't know why the police chief would go along with this. They yanked $8 million from the police budget to help with the migrants and the housing of the migrants. Then there's Chicago.
To align yourself with somebody who's obviously a one-term mayor, if he even makes it that far, you better be worrying about your job. Oh. You better be worrying about your longevity because we're going to vote and we're going to get you out because you ain't doing right by us. That's what time it is.
We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that on my block. So I'm asking y'all to use our tax money for our people. We need it.
You vote for the money for these immigrants today, and we're coming for them seats. You can believe that.
You know, I'm just a bigoted right-wing talk show host full of hate, but I think those African-American residents in Chicago who pay taxes have a right to be pretty pissed right now.
Oh, I agree. You know, the one thing I want to say, though, is that my column was sort of taking the other angle on it, and it was like, what is the human toll on these migrants? So one of the things that is a complete misreading of the United States is that we are this hateful country that's full of people that doesn't like, you know, people of color and blah, blah, blah. Everybody I know, including myself and all of my friends who are very upset about illegal immigration, also understands why migrants come here, also understands the poverty that they're fleeing, and that we would do the same. And one of the things that we're not looking at is, what does this journey that starts with cartels in the Darien Gap, that includes debts to people who are often going to have you sell drugs and be prostitute, what does this mean for them? What favor are we doing for these people who, I agree, are deciding to come here and probably know the risks? But there's a huge price that they are paying. You know, and especially women and children. And you think about the children who come here, the unaccompanied minors, many of them, at least 85,000 of them have been lost. Many of them have debts. Does anybody surprise that they're working in jobs, that they're climbing roofs, that they're being prostituted? I mean, of course, because this is the world we live in. They owe money, and the people who they owe the money to don't care.
Yeah, I want to kind of expand on that, because this is one of those confusing things, I think, to even people who are paying attention to this crisis relatively closely. We always hear about the amount of money that it, you know, takes to pay the cartels or the, you know, the folks that traffic them across the border. So then the money, I mean, we've heard $10,000. I don't know if it's more than that. The question becomes, well, where are they getting the money? Where is the money coming from? Well, one of the answers is, as you're reporting here, is that they are going to have to repay that. And they do it with degrading forms of modern slavery, essentially.
100%. And I'm also just saying, you know, as a Christian, and which is what I am, but I don't know, I'm sure Jews and Muslims, any person of faith, it's like these are fellow human beings. And whatever we think about, you know, the larger issues of immigration, I mean, these are people who are leaving a rotten situation, and they're entering, many of them, a rotten situation because the Democrats who encouraged this didn't care enough to put processes in place so that we would be able to accept these people without having problems of child labor and female prostitution and human trafficking and all of these things. You know, it was enough for them to say, I'm a virtuous person, so I'm going to let these people come in, but I'm not going to do anything to make sure that they're going to be safe.
I miss this, and you in your column on Real Clear, you talk about the New York Post reporting that there is a street corona in Queens that has turned into, and this is a quote, well, it, you know, the serious, we knew that we were going to have some severe weather, and we have that. You got tornado warning sirens that are going off in Baldwin. You heard reference to Castlewood there. So there's a significant storm that's moving through. Now, I have, as I've documented before, I have a little girl who's 9 years old who's just literally terrified of this because she had an incident during the tornado sirens. She's got swim practice at Summit tonight, and I guess they're hunkering in the basement right now. But the good news with these is they tend to move through relatively quickly. Sue, I know you're not a meteorologist, but do you have any take on the system and the line of storms that's coming through right now? We've been watching it and tracking it throughout the afternoon, kind of coming right down I-70, right?
Yeah, and we heard thunder downtown. It's coming our way, but they say behind it, it's blue skies. I had a report from a guy in Chesterfield who said there was hail there briefly, and of course the Baldwin with the warning there, and I don't believe, let me look at the cameras and see if it's made it to 55 yet. But it's just been heading in from the west. Yeah, we're now seeing dark clouds over 55, but it's not pouring rain there yet. It's just now making it into downtown.
And we'll keep you posted on that. We had to cut Peter Zane short just because the emergency alert system sort of took over the broadcast, and we were going to pay attention to that. We'll have him back at a certain point. But I want to play the second part of Senator Hawley's deal with Mayorkas. And before I do that, just because there's so much going on here... I got Aerosmith tickets to give away. I know this is not like the perfect time to do it, but Abby's going to yell at me if I don't do it because we did say we're going to do it in this hour. So even though it's busy, the Aerosmith coming back, Enterprise Center in October. Tickets went on sale for the show last Friday. We have had tickets to give away all week, and your time is up right now if you're call number 7. On the contest line, 314-241-9797, you're going to Aerosmith. We'll get you the tickets. 241-9797, caller number 7. Abby will take your call here. So, Holly, he just lit up Mayorkas and did a great job. And I played you what the folks in Chicago said, and you're hearing more and more of that. But listen to this.
Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator, you've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is, you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all.
Ouch! Obviously referring to the impeachment debacle when Chuck Schumer basically said for the first time in the history of the United States Senate that if articles of impeachment get handed over by the House, which is the constitutional process, we're not going to pay attention. But look, Mayorkas, what he said there at the end was, Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case. That's not what Josh Hawley's talking about. Yeah, so the guy's in custody right now. Fine. He should go to prison for the rest of his life. The point is, he should not have been out free to kill. First of all, he shouldn't have come across the border.
No.
All right? And then once that happened, you had all these other things that were a result of these terrible policies. He comes here on September 8th, 2022. He's encountered by Border Patrol. He's paroled in the United States. They don't have detention capacity, right? And then he kills a woman. And God knows what else he did. It's just absolutely outrageous. And that guy, talk about, you can say what you will and people do about some of the, I'm not too crazy about some of the folks that Trump aligned himself with, especially like Giuliani in the end, because we all don't collectively know what happened to Rudy Giuliani over the course of the years, because 20 years ago, he was, 25
cleaning
years
up
ago
New
at
York.
This point. But yeah, he was. But in this situation, I just am shocked with the caliber of people. You look at Merrick Garland. He's a feeble old man. At one point, Democrats were trying to tell us that he would have been perfect on the United States Supreme Court. And then you have this guy, right? Mayorkas, he should have been impeached because he's not doing his job. And he just proved again that he's not doing his job. So I don't know what... I do know this, that the American people have had it with this. It's going to be fascinating to me, Sue, moving forward, how some of this anger in Denver, in New York, in Chicago, I'd say here in St. Louis, manifests itself at the poll. We always talk about African-American participation for Republicans. It never really seems to do much. Now, Trump changed that a little bit, and I think there's an opportunity to change that a lot given this particular issue alone, just the border. And we're going to find out soon enough. 542, we're coming back. Audio cut of the day. You know, I don't have this one in as a permanent bump. We're going to change that today. We're playing this because Dickie Betts died at the age of 80 from the Allman Brothers. I'll have some further thoughts on that in just a moment as we do audio cut of the day. And because we keep getting taken over here on the audio from the EAS, and there are some serious weather situations, so we do want people to be careful out there. But let me get to cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.